are now listening.
You are now listening to the Backseat Wrestler Podcast.
Look at Randy Orton slithering.
Watch out.
Hosted by Eric and Elvis.
It's LA Knight's game. Yeah.
Wow, AEW Dynasty was honestly disappointing. I'm not even going to lie. I thought it was
I thought it was all right.
I thought it was like pretty crazy, disappointing. There was nothing like that was really exciting, honestly. A lot of the matches felt like it could have just been on Dynamite or Collision. I just didn't really think it was that good.
Maybe the tournament matches probably could have been on the regular shows.
Yeah, no, 100%. But yeah.
I didn't think it was bad.
Hello and welcome to the number one wrestling podcast in the world, the Backseat Wrestling Podcast. We are back better than ever, of course, ready to bring you more wrestling news. Of course, we just filmed our previous episode where we just talked about WWE. This one we have to do on video, unfortunately, because obviously AEW Dynasty ended so freaking late. But of course, your hosts, Eric and Elvis. I honestly, it looks like it's mixed opinions. I think that Dynasty was kind of iffy. It was like 50-50, probably. In my honest opinion, not the worst AEW pay-per-view I've ever watched. And it's not like it was bad. It's just compared to AEW pay-per-views, this was something I was expecting to be amazing. And it was just mid at best.
You said mixed opinions. I never thought it was freaking great. Not even close. It was just all right. It was all right.
I thought it was mid. I don't know.
There was some stupid stuff on it, though, like.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into those. But of course, in terms of Dynasty, I guess we could just always start from the top and then just keep going down. Dynasty, of course, did start off with Will Ospreay versus Kevin Knight. This match was, of course, part of the Owen Hart Cup tournament. Again, another match that I thought should have just been on a Dynamite or a Collision, but I guess they had to fill up the card. Whatever, cool. Kevin Knight, of course, recent signing into AEW, he was taken over for an injured Jay White, who unfortunately used to get surgery on his hand. We talked about that on the last episode. But honestly, I thought this match was good. I'm not even going to lie. Yeah, this match was fine.
This was a really good match.
Great opener. Ospreay picked up the win. Kevin Knight looked freaking fantastic. He was a great signing for AEW. I know that WWE had a lot of interest in him, but he decided to sign with AEW. That caused a lot of controversy with people thinking he chose the wrong path. But honestly, I think it's great. He's going to be in the Junior Heavyweight Classic for New Japan coming up. That's going to be a lot of fun. So he will be off TV for a little while, I guess, after the Owen Hart Cup tournament, because it's not just one match and done. You have to do like five matches. Isn't it five matches? I think so.
No, I think they. I think they just have it a regular tournament. They showed the brackets.
Oh, okay. So I guess not. Yeah. So he's going to be gone for a little while, of course.
Go ahead and join that. You're thinking about the Continental Classic.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, like the gold and the blue league, wherever the heck it was. Yeah. But yeah, Will Ospreay picked up the win. It looks like he's probably going to be the one that ends up winning the whole thing, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. I don't really see anybody else winning other than possibly Hangman.
Yeah, I want Hangman to win, but
I don't think Hangman's going to win, though, but I feel like out of those two, Ospreay got that win. But yeah, not really much to talk about there. Again, it was just part of the Owen Hart Cup tournament. Nothing really bad bloodish there. So, again, this should have just been like a main event of like Dynamite or Collision. Moving on. We had the Tag Team Championship match between the Hurt Syndicate and Brian Keith and Big Bill. This is another match that I felt like could have just been a Collision main event or Dynamite main event, because Big Bill and Brian Keith aren't really big names to be facing Hurt Syndicate on pay-per-view. I guess that's just my opinion. MJF was in the crowd. He ended up hitting Big Bill with the Dynamite Diamond Ring, basically helping Hurt Syndicate, who did pick up the win. Cool. I mean, it's fine.
They didn't really seem happy that he helped, but whatever.
Yeah, but I think it's honestly just because, like, MJF did say that he's going to prove himself to, of course, MVP, Bobby Lashley, and Shelton Benjamin as to why he belongs in the Hurt Syndicate. And I knew that I think this was kind of obvious that he was going to go ahead and help them win. Not that they needed the freaking help. Again, it's Brian Keith and Big Bill.
They ended up helping. They should keep the tag team titles for a while.
I think there's no way they're not going to keep the titles for a long time. Come on now. There's no way. Yeah. They're going to hold those titles for a while. There's nobody out there to actually like face them, except for possibly the returning Young Bucks, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yeah, but they can be just a dominant tag team. They could probably just jump MJF if they get tired of him and then start a whole feud there, maybe.
I don't even know if MJF is actually going to end up joining them, honestly. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But just a very lackluster dynasty, honestly. We have the TBS Championship match between Mercedes Moné and Julia Hart. Unfortunately, that was a botch fest. Moné ended up picking up the win.
No, I thought this was just the tournament, the woman's own Hart.
Oh, yeah, you're tournament. Right. Yeah, yeah. But still, it was a little botchy. It was a little botchy, not going to lie.
Yeah, it was.
Moné picked up the win. They did not click well at all. Of course, it was expected that Moné was going to win anyway, so that's fine. They need to build up somebody in order to freaking face Moné. I'm hoping that they end up doing Toni Storm versus Mercedes Moné for like the title. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, well, she got fourth title, so I don't know what.
Well, I think it'll just mostly be like Moné going after the AEW title because she wants to complete her belt collection, and then her not winning, yeah. And then that's basically her downfall. She ends up losing all the titles little by little. I think that's what's gonna happen. That'd be cool. Because there's no way in hell they're going to have her win over Toni Storm. Toni Storm is literally gold. It's freaking hilarious. But yeah, speaking of Toni Storm, we can talk about that now. Toni Storm had a match against Megan Bain. That was a pretty decent match, not going to lie. Pretty good. Toni Storm ended up picking up the win with a roll-up win pin victory. What's next for Toni Storm? Not really sure. We always knew this was just going to be a filler match of rivalry until she ends up going on to bigger and better things. Again, I think the next best move would probably be her against Mercedes Moné.
Yeah, but she's probably gonna have a bunch of like little feuds, nothing big until after the Owen Hart tournament. Whoever wins, so they can face her.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But like I said, I really don't think that there's anybody that they can put her in like in a mid-level feud until then.
No.
Yeah, they need to start bringing some people back up, start building them back up. Jamie Hayter will be a good idea, but of course they need to build that. They need to build her back up. She hasn't really been involved in a lot of storylines as of right now, so I guess we're just going to have to wait and see for that. We also had one of the big things that I did want to talk about was, of course, the Rated FTR versus the Death Riders, of course, for the AEW Trios Championships. Of course, Rated FTR has been having their issues, and it definitely came to fruition tonight, whatever you want to say. Dax Harwood ends up getting pinned by Wheeler Yuta, and FTR end up turning on Cope.
Yeah, that was kind of expected, I guess. Remember, we did say this like last week about, because remember, we were talking about they should not split up FTR. It would make absolutely no sense. Just turn them heel. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
They smashed them with multiple concertos, and that was just assholes. Remember, they put the neck brace on him, went on the stretcher, and he started like pumping his heart, like doing CPR. That was just ultimate heels, like out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was nice though. I liked it. I mean, at one point it looked like Cass Wheeler was going to turn on Dax Harwood and then end up just staying with Cope, but that wasn't the case. End up hitting the big rig on Cope, and again doing the concerto twice, hitting their finisher as well on him. That was pretty nice. It looks like Cope is going to be storyline injured. He left on a stretcher, of course, with a neck brace. Storyline injured for a while. FTR is probably going to turn full-blown heelish, go after the tag titles, etc. Go ahead.
Sorry. When Cope comes back, he's going to have to find a partner. Maybe, somehow, the reunion with Christian. I don't know how that will happen.
That's what some people are saying, too. Like the possibility of course, him joining Christian would be pretty cool again. Edging Christian. Of course, that's all Cope people have wanted, or Cope and Christian, whatever. That's all people have wanted since Cope ended up in AEW. Of course, they did that pretty cool storyline between him and Christian, and they've been basically feuding since. But of course, them like basically joining forces again would honestly be like the best case scenario for both of them, because they're not really going to be doing much after this.
Yeah, they can do like the patriarchy turns on Christian, so he's alone. And then when Cope comes back, maybe he tries to get him back on his good side. I'm pretty sure they're going to build up to take a while, but.
Yeah, no, 100%. But I think, honestly, that's probably going to be the best case scenario for them. The FTR thing was kind of obvious, too. That's what I'm saying. Like, Dynasty was honestly so boring to me. I don't know. I just felt like so bored with the whole card.
It was literally filler title fights and a tournament. That's all it was. It wasn't like there was no actual crazy storylines.
No, honestly, if I were to compare it to anything, I would probably compare it to like WWE Payback when it was just like a bunch of filler stuff.
Like a Backlash, right? I remember after WrestleMania, they do Backlash, and that's usually mid.
Yeah, no, exactly. And they're bringing that back, too. They're going to bring back Backlash. So hopefully it's better this year. But yeah, because other than that, we had the Owen Hart Cup tournament. Again, another match that could have just been on regular TV. Kyle Fletcher versus Mark Briscoe. Kyle Fletcher picked up the win there. It was a good match, but again, should have just been
But he dominated. He actually dominated most of the match.
Yeah.
With Don Callis on commentary, it was still – he just dominated him. They were mentioning it too.
Yeah, no, it was cool to see Kyle Fletcher dominate. Obviously, he just came off that loss to Will Ospreay in a fantastic freaking steel cage match. So, yeah, happy to Kyle Fletcher won. That's great. Cool. Moving on, because there's not really much to talk about there.
Yeah.
We had Bandido defeating Chris Jericho to become the new Ring of Honor champion. Of course, this was Mask versus title.
It's pretty stupid the way they did it, though.
Yeah. Like, what? Well, it was a Chris Jericho won because he cheated and then ended up restarting the match.
Yeah. Bandito's family were, like, pointing to, like, one of the other referees on the outside, like Aubrey Edwards. They were like, oh, he used the bat and everything, and then she brought him in. They showed him the bat, and they said restart, which is stupid. That literally can't happen. That never happened. Matches have been restarted, but not like that. This is, like, the crowd getting involved and then telling him he did it. It's usually... Like, I see people arguing online, oh, WWE does it all the time. Yeah, but it's completely different. Like, you never see matches restarted like this where the people in the crowd, which is his family, they get involved and they point out to a bat.
Yeah.
It's usually the referee catches somebody doing something after. I don't know.
Yeah, like immediately after.
It was a separate referee. Aubrey Edwards wasn't even refereeing the match. He was on the outside. So it's pretty, I don't know, just pretty stupid. If you're going to have him win, I'm fine. Just let him beat Chris Jericho.
Clean. Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was dumb. I thought it was really dumb. But yeah, Bandido picked up the win. I'm happy he's the ROH champion, but they're not really doing much with ROH at the moment. Yeah. So that's cool.
I mean, yeah. And by the way, this is like completely separate. I seen Jericho in an interview recently. Like, it was just like a source that say one day he would like to return to WWE to finish his career. I don't even know if they would even allow that since he's like very, what is he, in his 50s now? I don't know if they would even do that.
I don't know. If he does, it'll probably be like his final year wrestling ever.
Or just one last match, maybe.
I mean, he can go now, honestly, because he's not really, there's nothing for him in AEW anymore. He's not going to be AEW champion. They're not going to put him as an international champion, nothing like that. It depends on his contract. Why not even do it? Yeah, it does depend on his contract. Yeah, I guess so. And then, of course, after that, we had Adam Cole versus Daniel Garcia for the TNT Championship. This was a great match. This was honestly something that was fun. I'm happy it was on the card. And I'm really happy that Adam Cole ended up picking up the win. So he finally won his first singles title in AEW. He's now the TNT Champion. Where the hell does he go from here now? Because this was great.
Yeah, well, he better have some great feuds for that, because the last great TNT Champion was Christian Cage, and he had great feuds. They got to do the same with Adam Cole. They've been hiding him on Collision in a trios tag team for too long that everybody almost forgot about him. Like, nah, build him up, have him do some crazy promos, have him have some good feuds, and let him hold the title for a while.
No, I agree.
Maybe even become the longest reigning TNT champion. You never know.
Yeah, I think him holding that, of course, maybe Undisputed Kingdom, whatever the heck you want to call him, ends up winning the trios titles. They can hold both of them at the same time. That'd be pretty cool to see. We could see a bunch of feuds against some great people. I think, honestly, Adam Cole's going to have some amazing feuds against, like, Takeshita and all that stuff as well, if it's booked properly. But we'll just have to wait and see. In terms of, like, the whole outcome, though, I thought it was a perfect decision. Daniel Garcia, he held the title for a decent amount of time. It was because it was on Collision. You don't watch Collision. So I
check it out here and there, but it's, the time slot, I don't know. And then it's always lackluster, so...
It's been pretty good recently. So, he's been on Collision. So, he's been doing his thing on Collision, too, having some pretty good matches.
Yeah. It is getting better. They just got to market it better. They got to build up that show, like I said, have their stars on it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
No, I agree. But, yeah, Adam Cole is a new TNT champion. Super pumped about that. Can't wait to see exactly where this leads. But I guess we'll have to wait and see, because, of course, sometimes AEW's booking is iffy at best, to be honest. Then we had the international championship match between Kenny Omega, Ricochet, and Mike Bailey. This was definitely match of the night by far. This match was freaking great. Yeah. Kenny hit the one wing angel from the middle rope onto Ricochet for the win. But there was so many times where Mike Bailey looked like he was going to win, Ricochet was going to win. Ricochet was playing along with the crowd. He even grabbed like the announcer's headset. That was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, he's getting better as a heel. Just better. Nobody likes him right now.
No, yeah. He has ultimate heat, which is great. That's exactly what you need as a heel.
You saw Mike Bailey doing like some karate kid stuff.
That's his whole gimmick though. That was cool though. The freaking kick, the crane kick that he did was pretty insane. Yeah, he's been going off. I actually like Mike Bailey. I've literally become a fan of him since he's joined AEW. I've known of him prior, but I never really watched him. Since he's joined AEW, I've been a big fan. His matches have been great. He hasn't really cut a promo like that, but yeah, his matches are really fun to watch. Kenny Omega picked up the win. The big storyline there is, of course, something that we talked about a couple weeks ago. Not Kenny Omega, Kazuchika Okada coming out at the end for a face-to-face stare down with Kenny Omega, teasing basically that the fusion of the Continental Champion and the International Champion, which we've been begging AEW to do for the past couple weeks.
Yeah, and the stare down literally lasted like a second. Like Kenny Omega just looked at him and then walked away, like he didn't want nothing to do with Okada.
Yeah, can you blame
Okada? Okada got that aura.
Yeah, no, it was nice. I thought it was a little weird. I felt like that the stare down should have been a bit longer, but you know what?
Yeah, it was just, like I said, he literally, as soon as Okada just stood there, he just walked away. Like, he didn't even acknowledge him.
Yeah, as like you said, as if he wants nothing to do with Okada. Like, he doesn't
that's what it looked
like. He doesn't want to face him. He doesn't want to do that again, because they've had some of the best matches ever. Like, honestly, those matches are freaking fantastic. So I'm hoping, they're teasing that for All In. If they tease that for All In, that's going to be great. As you said, this pay-per-view honestly just felt like it was a bunch of stuff that they threw together in order to hype up the just next pay-per-view or hype up All In, because this pay-per-view was so lackluster.
The next one is bound to be great. Double or Nothing, I believe it's Double or Nothing in May, and I believe they announced it for like Phoenix, Arizona. Double or Nothing is usually great, like one of the best actually. So it better blow it out of the water, because this was lackluster. But like I said, I didn't think it was bad like you thought, like bad. I just thought it was all right. Just looking at it, it was nothing crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was bad, especially the ending, which we'll get into. Let's definitely get into the ending now. All right. So, of course, the main event of AEW Dynasty was probably one of the only major talking points we can really have, because the freaking whole pay-per-view was so lackluster. was honestly, of course, Swerve Strickland versus Jon Moxley for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. Of course, we haven't seen that world championship in freaking forever because Moxley refuses to show it. And this has honestly been, sadly, one of the most boring title reigns I've ever witnessed in my entire life.
The most boring in AEW, definitely.
In AEW, because there's obviously been a lot worse, like freaking Jinder Mahal, etc.
I was just about to say it right now.
Yeah, Jinder Mahal. But I don't know. It's just been so freaking lackluster. It's kind of insane. The match ended, of course, with Swerve almost picking up the win. Looked like he was going to pick up the win. The crowd was really pumped up, super excited. And then lights go out. Here comes the Young Bucks, who end up, EVP triggering, because that's what they call it now.
Yep.
Swerve Strickland, which basically just Moxley just curls up for the win, crawls onto the Swerve, pins him for the win. Crowd, obviously, extremely displeased. I'm displeased. At that point, I just shut off my freaking laptop. Like, that was freaking ridiculous.
I mean, nothing happened after that anyway. Yeah, it literally just went off.
It was ridiculous. So freaking boring. Like, bro, like, first of all, the match was not that good. I was expecting so much more.
I liked the match. I thought the match was good. Remember the Swerve stomp off the ladder onto the table?
That was Swerve. Cool.
He was hurt. He kept on getting up and hitting them. He did, what is that kick where he jumps and just side kicks this dude on the head? I forgot the name.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is, like, but before that ladder spot, everything before that was just kind of boring to me. I don't know.
Well, it's because Moxley's matches are a lot of holds.
Yeah, I guess so.
Striking, like, you know, they were striking. They were having the striking battle in the middle of the ring a couple of times.
Yeah.
That's just Moxley's style, because we know Swerve can put on a banger, 100%. And most of the exciting stuff was with him actually doing the exciting stuff. So.
Yeah, no, I thought the Swerve was going to pick up the win. I'm kind of upset that he didn't. Of course, a lot of people online are upset that he didn't. That's like the major storyline going into it right now. Everybody was really hoping that this was the end of Moxley's run. Because, of course, his past reigns have been so fun. It's just this reign has just been terrible, and everybody's just been dying for it to end. And they continue to the storyline with him.
Yeah, and it was weird. Hangman ended up, like, coming out. and he looked like he did look he was gonna hit the buckshot lariat, and he didn't know who he wanted to do it on. He was looking at both of them. They were both getting up.
Yeah.
But then before he got to hit on anybody, he got jumped by the rest of the Death Riders. And then we saw the ops come out, take out the Death Riders, take them away. Everybody left. And then that's when, obviously, everything happened with the Young Bucks. So I want to know what the question, like, the Young Bucks are, you think they're working with the Death Riders? Or the Death Riders are working with them? I mean,
100%. I saw like, a lot of people saying online, like, oh, like this doesn't make any sense. They're just like they're just doing shock value stuff. It's like, no, it kind of makes sense, because if you remember, like, freaking right before the Young Bucks left, they're ripping up papers backstage. We even talked about the week after, like, are they working with the Death Riders? Like, they weren't Kurt,
yes,
they weren't called Death Riders at the time, but are they working with Moxley and them? Are, like, did they hire them to, like, take over, and they've realized they couldn't really freaking, you know, take control, so they ended up leaving and destroying any evidence before that. That's what it looks like happened. And honestly, that's probably exactly did actually happen, basically. Because, like, obviously, freaking they came out, helped Moxley, and now we're going to wait till Wednesday where we're actually going to find out exactly what did happen, because that's what Tony Khan did say in the post press conference, that you guys should be excited for Wednesday because that's what everything's going to be unveiled. So,
yeah. So remember before the Young Bucks left, we were talking about the takeover storyline where they're going to take over AEW with, obviously, Moxley's crew.
Yeah.
And then there's going to have to be a new order come in to help bring them all down. Remember, they tried that already, but it wasn't with the Young Bucks. Young Bucks weren't even there. Remember, they tried that little takeover thing with, like, Orange Cassidy and stuff, but that was kind of dumb. Maybe they try it again with, like, Swerve and Hangman, and then, like, some maybe Tony Khan leads them or something. Because Tony, I don't know.
Somebody's got to lead them.
Because remember, the Young Bucks are vice presidents. It's got to be somebody in power.
Yeah. Well, Kenny. But, you know, Kenny's kind of busy doing his own thing. Well, Kenny's going to go after Okada, it looks like. So I guess that's part of it.
Is it Hangman an EVP? So.
No, he got fired, didn't he?
Yeah, right.
He got fired.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. In storyline, he got fired. But yeah,
it's got to be somebody in power to lead a new group to take them down. That's probably what's going to happen. They can make it great because obviously everything sucks and we want Swerve to be champion, but obviously it's not going to happen now. So hopefully they at least make it great until we find out who the actual next challenger is, which maybe is Lil Will Ospreay or Hangman after the Owen Hart tournament.
Yeah. Honestly, now that I think about it, I know I said it looks like Will Ospreay is probably going to win because it is, like, obviously one of the thing that he did point out when he first joined the Owen Hart Cup tournament. However, with Hangman being involved and, of course, the ending of this match, I definitely see an outcome where he is actually the one to beat Moxley, which is exactly what we wanted in the first place, an AEW original being the guy to beat Moxley and finally show us the freaking AEW title we haven't seen in, like, 6 months.
Yes, All In is in Texas. You know, Hangman's basically a cowboy, so
makes sense. It does make sense. I don't know. I'm hoping that Hangman is the one to actually win the Owen Hart Cup tournament now. Hopefully he does freaking win it. Takes the belt off of Moxley, because god damn, this title reign has been so freaking lackluster. And that was basically the end of course, the AEW Dynasty review. Obviously, you can give your score, of course, of what you think it was, because I thought it was terrible. Out of 10, what do you think?
Yeah. So out of 10, I'll give it 5 or 6 out of 10. It was in the middle. It was just mid. I don't think it was terrible, but it wasn't good at all either. So maybe 6 out of 10. Just because of the couple of matches here and there, but
I'm gonna give it a 4.
a
4. And the only reason I'm giving it a 4 is honestly because Adam Cole won, which is great, and then I thought that the Will Ospreay match was pretty fun. And I'm also Omega glad was decent too. But everything else is kind of lackluster.
And I'm glad the Young Bucks are back. That's another thing.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't. A lot of there's a lot of Young Buck haters. I'm pretty happy he's back.
I'm glad they're back.
Yeah, for sure. But anyway, that was basically it, of course, for the AEW Dynasty review. Of course, please like, comment, subscribe as always. You can also watch our WWE weekly review in the previous episode that we uploaded earlier today. Like, comment, subscribe as always. We love you guys so much. We appreciate all the support we've been getting. Got a couple new subscribers, getting a lot of views on TikTok, etc. So really appreciate that. Of course, next week, I think, is the week prior to WrestleMania. So there should be some pretty good stuff. Of course, happening that week. Looking forward to that. See you guys next week. Love you guys. Peace.